So good to be with God's people.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1, please. Thank you again to Hilburn Drive, Grace Baptist Church, pastor and people, for your kindness, for your charity, for your love. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In the book of Romans, I think one of the most amazing things about the book of Romans is the first word, Paul. We have a gospel that transforms and changes people. It is a powerful gospel. When the Spirit of God is present to save, it is the only message that the Spirit of God will affect to the hearts of a sinner. That's one of the most amazing things. When I look at Paul, I see by the grace of God, I see James or Joe or Pat, because this used to be Saul. But if you notice, we don't know him as Saul anymore. We know him as Paul. That's an amazing thing. Don't ever get tired of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is the central message. It is where the power of God lies.
Amen.
Don't ever change this message. I read a website in Springfield, Louisiana the other day. It's not in Springfield, actually, but they said, we're taking an ancient message and we're presenting it in a contemporary way.
Amen.
I can't stand that.
Right.
It is the only relevant message of God. It comes from this book. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, His Son. But there are so many that take this message and they say, it's an offensive message. We have to make it to where it's more receivable. And they have the new paradigm churches now that have found out what people like. And we want to give the people what they like.
Right, yes.
And so then you have stick man, scarecrow conversions.
Yes.
And you have no conversions. You have conversions. But it's not. You cannot say with the certainty of certainties, as the Apostle John says in 1 John, we know that we are of God. You can't say that with a false gospel. But in verse 14, if you look there, we'll not read the whole text, but just 14 and 17. 14, 15, 16, and 17. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, Paul said, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He'd not been there, and now he writes a letter to Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Oh God, please help us in this short time. Father, there's no other important time. There's no other event that's going on anywhere that is more important for the souls that sit in this place of assembly than at thy feet. And so, Father, may we not think of what happened yesterday, nor what is in 15 minutes from now or 20 minutes from now. Father, what is relevant is what is now. And so, Father, I pray that you would rest our spirits at thy feet. And I pray that you would, Father, feed us as our brother Joe has prayed earlier, with the finest of the wheat from thy word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here. Father, help us to be a people that would always expect your Holy Spirit to be there.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, and I pray that you would get glory and honor. We ask it in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I am debtor, Paul says, to the barbarians, to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. Greeks thought all the other folks were barbarians. They are fools. We're the wise ones. So Paul says, well, I'm debtor to the wise and to the unwise. I'm debtor to smart people and dumb people. I'm debtor to rich people and poor people. As we say in Louisiana, Cajuns and rednecks, doesn't matter. Blacks and whites, Hispanics, all types of people.
Amen.
Paul says, I am debtor.
Yeah.
Educated and uneducated. You see, Paul knew that he had this treasure in an earthen vessel. He knew that he had the most powerful message that could ever enter into a man's ears. And Paul knew that because when he was on the Damascus Road, he wasn't seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was seeking to kill Christians, breathing out threatenings of slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he was stopped in his tracks. And the Lord Jesus Christ saved him from his sins, saved him from himself. And so now, Paul tells the Romans, I am debtor. I have a responsibility. I have an obligation to testify and witness of what God has done in my soul. And I tell you, if you're a Christian today, you should share the same burden with the Apostle Paul. You should have that same burden when you look out upon the souls of the sons and daughters of men. And when you see them in their sins, you should not detest them. Right. You should remember where you were.
Yes.
I told you about those that lived behind me the other day, and I saw those, and we look at them so often, and we see the young generation with their purple hair and their pierced body and their tattoos, and we despise them, and we look and we go, ah, look at this generation, it's going to hell in a handbasket. Why don't we look out and see them as souls? See them as human, living, breathing souls. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to look out and say, well, I was pretty detestable.
Right.
So what was I? Some kind of elite human that God came down and said, he's profitable, let me save him? Oh no. Oh no. I might not have had purple hair, but I had some black insides.
Yes. Right.
Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:8, we were darkness.
Yes. Right.
Not we're in darkness, we were darkness, yes. Beloved of God. And God has sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, to save people with purple hair and pierced ears and pierced faces, and he saves them from their sins.
Yes.
Listen, they were made in the image of God just like you and I. And they're wrecked by sin just like you and I. And so we have the message that will transform and change their lives.
Amen.
We have it. Don't change the message, beloved of God.
Amen.
Do I look at souls like this? I've heard people actually say, you know, I can't really talk to folks like this, or I can't really talk to folks like that. You know, I can only talk to certain types of folks. Paul said, oh no, I am debtor to all types of men. All types. Don't ever disqualify yourself from speaking forth that treasure that is in your earthen vessel. The power doesn't lie in you. The power lies with God himself.
Amen.
And with his Spirit. So don't ever look at someone and say, I can talk to this type of person. I can't talk to that type of person. You know what? Man will always get it wrong.
Yes.
We look out, don't we? And we say, boy, you know, the Lord might work in that person's life. And you know what? Pretty much 100% of the time, I'm wrong. You listen to somebody say, man, you know that person, man, they just might get it. And you know what? God saves the one that you didn't think he'd save. Well, he's not going to save like you think.
Right.
Who said it the other night? I think Brother Don said it. Or I can't remember who said it. God's mercy doesn't work like we think it would. God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. We have an obligation, Christians, to preach the gospel, to witness and testify of the truth of the Son of God to the lost and dying generation that we live in. We need not. We must have spiritual courage, beloved of God, to speak it forth. That is to love that soul. And I ask you this morning, do you love the souls of men and women? Do you love the souls of boys and girls misguided? Do you love them? Then if you love them, you have the message of love from Christ to give them. But it's offensive, and so often we don't share it. He says in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. And he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, verse 16. Paul knew by his own personal experience that he was going to receive opposition. He was stoned. He was beaten. He had to be let down in a basket over the wall. Here's a man who killed those who preached the same message that he was now preaching. That's why it's an amazing thing to see that word in the beginning of the book of Romans, Paul.
Right.
And you know there were those suspicious of him initially when they said, wait a minute. And he said, here comes the... Wait a minute, that was Saul? No, that's Paul. Not Saul anymore, it's Paul now. He's a different man. He has been transformed by that true message. Listen, we must never, never, never get tired of looking into this true message and preaching this message as it is in truth. But there's a real temptation. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I tell you, there's a real temptation to be hesitant to testify of it publicly. Isn't there? Sometimes there's a hesitation. He said, well, I'm not ashamed. I just didn't say anything. Well, Paul knew that there was going to be opposition. The true gospel is offensive. It offends people. Listen, you go pointing at someone's sin, giving them the bad news, as Brother John said, and you tell them you need to turn from your wicked ways. Your wicked ways. It's your fault. It's your sin. That's not popular. And they got the Rick Warrens of this world that have changed the gospel message. New paradigm churches that have said, oh, we need to make the message less offensive. It's not a true gospel. It's not a true gospel. The true gospel makes people angry. It's not popular. It's not easy to speak plainly to sinners, is it? We need to be walking in the Spirit. But we need to speak the truth in love. We don't beat them over the head with the Bible. We need to speak the truth in love, but we need to speak it truthfully. We need to speak it as it is written. Because this is the word that the Spirit of God uses. He uses His word. It is the instrument that He uses to save men, women, boys, and girls from their sins. These words that I've seen in this 40 days of purpose or whatever this is, and you say this, you read this, and now you're in the family of God. That's at a pit of hell.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? That's horrible. Marketing Christianity. We need to market ourselves. We need to have a message so where we can get people in, market ourselves, and they get people in the church. It's from the pit of hell, beloved of God. Let the Spirit of God do the saving. Let the Spirit of God, let Jesus Christ build His church, not us.
Right.
If I build it, it'll be like a crab net. I'll pull up all kind of nasty old blue crabs.
Right.
See, no one minds you as a Christian when you do good things for them. No one minds your acts of kindness. But speak forth the truth plainly about the Son of God.
Amen.
Identify with Christ. Brother Pat said Wednesday night, it is given unto you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Suffer when speaking for the truth. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. Luke 6:22. This is nothing new. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You begin to speak the true message, beloved of God, and you'll be rejected. You'll gain a reputation. You will be derided. You'll be made fun of, and you will be avoided. That's what will happen. Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Well, we don't like that, do we? When men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You willing to do that? Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, you have received your consolation. And he goes down, look at verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Boy, beware. Beware of that. 9:33 of Romans. 9:33. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's a rock of a, it's a stumbling block. They stumble over it. What do you mean I'm the worst type of sinner that there ever was? You are. I am. He has saved me from my sin, my blackness of darkness. Listen, there's enough depravity in the heart of any man that is born to be a rattlesnake like Hitler and to go forth and do the most horrible things that any other human could do.
Right.
But we have the message that changes lives.
Yes.
We have to remember the message of Jesus Christ in the hands of the Spirit of God changes lives.
Yes.
And turns Sauls into Pauls.
Yes.
Transforms them. And now are new creatures in Christ. That's what I tell people. Did you do that to yourself? Or did you all of a sudden make yourself like this? Did you all of a sudden just love to read the Bible? I used to hate this book. I used to make fun of people that witnessed on the street corners in a little area of Metairie, Louisiana when I was 17, 18 years old. I'd hop around to the bars and these guys would try and preach. And I thought, that's horrible of me, Lord. I can't believe I did that. But the Lord said, you did that. You were lost. But God saved me from that. And I wish I could find those guys now. I was the one that was making fun of. He saved me from my sins.
Yeah.
Look, I'm new now. I'm like you.
Yeah.
Beloved of God.
Amen.
We have a message that changes and transforms. Don't be ashamed of it.
Amen.
Romans 10:11, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We have the message from the King. At the last day, He's going to separate him as a sheep from the goats, and we're going to stand there with Him. You believe? You know, so many people, they'd love to go to the White House. Go to the White House. Boy, if you were going to the White House, man, you'd be excited. Going to meet the President. Forget the President. You're going to stand. Man, at that day, as for me, I shall behold Him in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with His likeness.
Yes.
I'm going to be in heaven with the one who saved us from our sins.
Yes.
And there'll be no more sin. I can't even trip and fall into sin then. It's going to be a place of perfect righteousness in the presence of the Holy Son. And we have the message that changes people into that.
Amen.
Changes people into that. We need to be excited about this message.
Amen.
But what stops us so often is pride and fear. A lot of times, pride will stop us from talking to somebody else about Jesus Christ. You know why? Well, it's offensive. We don't want to be offensive. We don't want to be made fun of. So our pride prevents us from testifying of the truth. What will they think of me? I'll lose my reputation. I don't want them to talk about me like that. I have to think of a different way to present this message. Oh, no. That is the mistake of mistakes.
Yes, sir.
When pride comes, when it comes, then comes shame. And our pride will make us ashamed of the gospel. Don't do that. Pride will prevent us from speaking forth the truth. And fear. We will be afraid. What about that person that we've worked next to for 10 years? And we've heard, and I believe we should live our lives with good testimonies. Because what good does it do if we live wicked lives and then try and speak forth the truth? It takes away our influence, our authority. But have we ever talked to that man, that woman that works next to us, that neighbor that lives next to us? Have we ever gone and said, you know, I've never talked to you about the message of Jesus Christ. You've lived next door to me for this long. I've seen you all the time. I've never told you that I have the message of messages. I have the truth that will free your soul from sin. Free you from the wrath of God to come. I have the message. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but look, I'll show it to you. It's not me. It's right here in the Word of God. Have we spoken to Him? But we have that fear, don't we? We have fear. Brethren, we need to have spiritual courage and know that they're not going to be saved because of us, but they'll be saved because of the message of Jesus Christ. And we need to be faithful with that message. In Luke 9:26, if you turn there, Luke chapter 9 and verse 26. You know this. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. Of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You see that verse? I was honored to hear the governor of the state of Louisiana quote that verse. Someone asked him in a town hall meeting, "Governor Jindal, we noticed that you speak about God. What do you believe? You talk about God all the time." And they talked about that hurting him politically, and he quoted that verse. That's a big deal. I don't know his heart, but certainly oppressed by that. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 12, you know the place. While you're going there, Paul said in Timothy, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker," listen Christian, "of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." When we speak forth the truth of the word of God, we are partakers of the affliction of the gospel, the same thing that Paul underwent, the same afflictions, the same persecution that he got. In 1 Peter 4:12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, busybody, and other men's matters. Yet if any man, listen, suffer as a Christian." There's not a whole lot of that going on now. "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." Don't be ashamed of that. We should be ashamed of being ashamed.
Yes.
Don't be ashamed of being derided for saying, "I am a Christian."
Yeah.
We need to have that courage, beloved. Said before, because of the offense of the gospel, there are many that have changed the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. Look at it there. When you change the gospel message, listen to me, you remove its power to save.
Amen.
You take the power to save away.
Right.
Do not change the message. Fancy sayings and wisdom of words have no power to save a man. But in many circles today, the gospel has been changed. If you ever get a chance, get that little book called "This Little Church Went to the Market." Get it. Gary Gilly writes it. It's horrible to see what this man has advocated. He is from the pit of hell. He calls the apostles marketers. He calls the Lord Himself the King of Glory with power to save. He says He marketed Himself. Are you crazy? He's changed the message of the gospel. And He gives you ways and ploys to get people into the church. If you want to pull the crab net, go ahead. I mean, that's what happens. He's changed the message. That is a lie from the pit of hell. 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words." Listen, when we get all fancy sayings, you know, a lot of people want their dish, they want their dinner served on with a thing like this on it. They want it all pretty. They try and present the message where it's really attractive and beautiful. They just, "Oh, it's got to be pretty." Paul said, "You do that, the power of the cross is made of none effect." Look at those words, none effect. No effect, no effectual call, no Spirit of God. That's what happens. I don't care if they sing and have their little bands and have all that stuff in the church and everybody gets emotional and woo, and they do all that stuff, there's no power to save there. There is no Christ there. The Spirit of God's not there. So don't get duped by it. There's so many. There's ones that live around me and I know them. They're duped by it. And they say, "Man, it's just, oh, you just feel so good in there." The gospel's not a feeling. It's faith in the Son of God. That's what it is. He said, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Listen, if the gospel is boring to you, you're the problem.
Amen.
The gospel is boring to me. I am the problem.
Yeah.
I have to fight that nasty old depravity off of me, because that is the true message of Christ.
Yes.
And let me tell you, if you're in Christ, the Spirit of God will make you excited about this.
Yes.
Message. Excited about it. Yes. I'm talking a real bona fide, durable excitement about this truth. It changes lives. It's changing me every day.
Amen.
Brother Don is certainly right. It has saved me. It is saving me. And it shall finally save me. I will receive the end of my faith, even the salvation of my soul. I will be like Him because of Him.
Yes.
Not because of some emotionalism.
Right.
Nothing matters except the true message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He says there, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by what we're doing, the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus and speak forth the true message shall suffer persecution. Listen, the true gospel is not going to be readily received. It will be sometimes. But often, listen, I'll tell you a story. Hurricane Katrina. After Katrina, I had to march around in that muck for 5 months in a Humvee, and I had a fighter pilot with me. And let me tell you, he got angry at me one night, and we began to speak of the truth. And he has a daughter. He says, my daughter is just such a good girl. I couldn't imagine. She's like talking about her like she's not a sinner, you know. And I told him his name's Jason Keller, Major Jason Keller. And I told him, I said, sir, I said, no offense, but your daughter's a sinner. And there was no lights in the city, and you know, I was reading the Bible and the gospel, and he goes, I can't make me believe that. I said, listen, and I said, your daughter is, in God's eyes, outside of Christ, she is worse than the worst sinner. There's not going to be, you know, she's lost, man. She came through Adam's loins. She was born and conceived in sin. He wouldn't talk to me for 2 days. I mean, he got mad, and I said, oh. You know, and I said, you know, I talked to him, I said, sir, and then a couple of days later, because we were on a midnight shift, it was like 8 all the way around, man, I'd be tired. And he said, I want to talk about this. I said, look, let me just read you the scriptures. And we began to read the scriptures, and he began to believe that. He said, let me see that. And I can remember distinctly a flashlight. I had my flashlight in the Humvee. We stopped in the middle of a neutral ground, middle of New Orleans, nobody around, this old nasty dust flying around. And, you know, we're looking for looters and stuff with me with an M16. Imagine that. And so, looking, we're reading the Bible, and he reads it, and he begins to say, man, that's, wow. And I begin to see this man's, his whole attitude change. And I begin to see it. I was amazed. And that went on for about 2 weeks, and we talk about the truth, and I preached Christ to him, and I'd show him the examples and scriptures. And you know, one night we were driving, and he goes, I'm going to make a call. And so I'm just driving around, and he calls up his wife. He goes, honey, yeah, it's me. How you doing? He goes, God finally did it. He says, I'm born again. I believed in Christ. And I went, I'm telling you, I was sitting at a Humvee, and I looked over, and I went, and he hung the phone up. I said, what'd you say?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I looked at him. He goes, yeah. I mean, that's what the book says, right? I said, yeah, that's what it says. And I said, my goodness. And I went home. I called my wife. You know, she says, 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, yeah, but man, Jason believed. This man to this day. And that was Back in 2006, he still comes to me. He says, "How's the church going? How you doing?" He lives in North Carolina. And he said, "Man, you got to help me find a church."
Yeah.
Amen. And man, he came to church in Springfield. We got off. He went to his place where he was staying down the city. And he came up, brought his wife and his daughter. And they came to church in Springfield, Louisiana. And I'll tell you what, I joined. I see him now. And he's a fighter pilot. And if you know fighter pilots, you know they're a pretty ungodly bunch. But he's different.
Amen.
And I've seen... And I'm looking and saying, wow, God changed the man right there, and I watched it. I mean, that's exciting. Man, I mean, you look and say, what, born again? Are you crazy? What? I mean, man, let me tell you, I was just beside myself. That was great. But why was Paul not ashamed of this gospel? Because he knew that, listen, to be ashamed of this message is to push the power of God away, because in this message Paul knew was the very power of God. Listen, we got to think about this. And you know the Greek word dunamis, and it's like dynamite. The very force of God comes forth when that message is preached faithfully. We need to expect the Spirit of God to be on the scene. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, we need to be like that lame man that sat at the gate, and he looked at the apostles and he expected to receive something. We need to, when we go and assemble with the saints of God, we need to expect to receive something from God. Too often I tell our people, we don't go to church, we assemble together to hear from God. And that's how we have to meet every time, to hear from the Most High and to sit at the feet. As we need to be like Mary and disregard everything else and sit at the feet of Christ. Don't be a Martha and be cumbered about with many things. Don't think about what you got to do tomorrow. Sit at the feet of Christ.
Yes.
Because it is the message that has force and power. He told the Thessalonians, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." He says, "When you receive the word which you heard of us," Paul said, "you received it not as the word of men." And that's what we have to remember. "But as it is in truth, the word of God, which what? Effectually worketh in us that believe." That word effectual means energy. It's the energy of God. The energy of God is going to come forth from this message. And so he says, it's not Rick Warren's words, the word of God is quick. It's life-giving. Quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You'll never get down to a sinner's deepest recesses of his heart without the true message of Christ. Never get there. You'll have a wooden sword. You got to have the two-edged sword. It goes all the way down and it rips all of that sin out. And God saves you from your sin. You'll be like Thomas Crook said, that sinner will tear open his bosom and all that sin will come out and they'll come to the light. Man, you'll see a sinner come to the light because he's making manifest that his deeds are wrought in God.
Yes.
But those that won't come to the light, they're hiding.
Yes.
They're hiding that sin. We need to preach the message that light has come into the world.
Yes.
There's the light. And then you'll see it spring forth. We need to expect our God to save. Listen, we know as pastors we fish in the same pond. You've heard that. We cast a line in the same pond every week, right? Same people come. You know what? We need to cast a line and we need to know. We need to believe. We need to go to our assemblies and our pulpits and believe that God is going to save, that God is going to edify the body of Christ. They're going to be built up in the most holy faith. Equip the church and send the saints out to be the light and the salt of the world. To send them out there. That's what we need to do, beloved of God. Wherever the true gospel is preached and testified of, we must expect the Spirit of God to be present with power to save. Once again, Paul. You look at that first word, Paul, and then go back and read Acts. You know the references, and look at when it said Saul. When people say the Apostle Paul, we never think of him as Saul anymore. And when people say Jack or Kyle or Pat or Joe or John, they don't think of the old one.
Amen.
Or Jose Ortega, they don't think of the old one. They know the new one.
Yes, sir.
You're the new man, which is renewed in the Spirit of God, renewed in the image of God. And now as we transition in our lives and we continue to march toward the celestial city, we become more and more like Jesus Christ. We become more like Him. And we want to do His will, as our brother so faithfully preached. I am not ashamed, because it is the It is the power of God unto salvation to change lives. And he said it's the power of God in those two words, unto salvation. That is, the end result is the gospel saves.
Yes.
That's what it does. It's not like a theory or a method. It's going to save. And we must believe that. It has saved us, and it is saving us, and it shall save us. Listen, from the guilt, the power, the dominion of sin in our lives. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If you've been saved from your sin, then let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. We have that powerful message that has saved us from our sins. And now the gospel keeps us. And finally, I love this part. To everyone that believeth.
Yes.
Everyone that believeth. You're a sinner in here today? You qualify.
Amen.
You qualify for this truth. If you turn from your wicked ways and you look to the Son of God that died for the worst of sinners, died for all types of sinners from every kindred, tribe, people, and nation. You want to know where John 3:16 lies? God so loved the world. Who's the world? He died for a people of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. He died for all types of men. If you don't come to Christ today, if you're outside of Christ, you disqualify yourself. You take yourself out of it. Turn from your wicked ways. And I know that, as the Bible says, and listen, this is the mysterious thing. When I looked at that man sitting next to me, and I realized, and I thought about that, I said, something absolutely divine happened right here. Right under my nose. I mean, this guy just believed. And as John says, he says, what does he say? I forgot what he says. In John, I forgot what the first words are, I'm sorry. He says, yes, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Power. And it says, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I saw something that was the will of God, and I saw the divine power of God opened the eyes of a man. And brethren, it ain't going to happen with a false, fake message.
Right.
To everyone that believeth. Ezekiel 33:11 says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Listen, the gospel message, the very nucleus of it is Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other, listen, name given among men whereby ye must be saved. This name, Jesus Christ. So brethren, don't be ashamed. You're debtor. You got this message? You realize how privileged you are? You realize how privileged we are that God has revealed Himself to us? You realize that? You carry a treasure in an earthen vessel, a clay pot. Do you realize that? You walk by a sinner and you don't talk to them? Your neighbor, you have what they need. They don't think they need it, but they need Christ. And we have to love the souls of men and women, boys and girls that are lost. Just like me. Wretched, wretched, detestable sinners, because that's what I was. Brother, we need to be debtors to all men. Speak to them of this message of truth. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It, not you, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, to the Greek, to the Italian, to the Hispanic, to the African, to the, you name it, to the Mongolian, to all types of men. I believe in heaven there will be one from every country, kindred, tribe, and nation. There'll be some from all over the world. They'll be there. Fantastic message. Let's bow and pray. Father, thank you for your fantastic message, Father. Glory to God in the highest. Oh God, you deserve all honor and glory. Oh God, help me, oh my Heavenly Father. to never be ashamed of thy message, O God, to speak it forth with power, and to expect, O Heavenly Father, that you will work in those dead souls that live around me every day. Father, for our own families, for our sons and daughters, for our neighbors, for our co-workers. Father, help us. Help us to be faithful in this. We are debtors to all men. Oh God, may you get glory and honor from all that is said and done. We ask it in the highly exalted name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Sorry.